Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. And Jesus was going about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." When we began to look at this particular passage of Scripture, we saw, first of all, Jesus going about all the cities and villages, as it is related in verse 35. And we understand that to be the work of Jesus as he went, yes, door to door, house to house, went into the marketplaces, was down by the seashore, seeing people, going where the people are. But we saw that Jesus, as he went from city to city and village to village, felt compassion on the people because as he went from place to place, he continually had in his mind's eye multitudes. And seeing the multitudes, verse 36 says, seeing the multitudes in city after city and village after village, he had compassion upon those people. And he saw a great harvest out there, a harvest of souls. And when we looked at verse 36, we saw that Jesus gives us some indication on how we may identify this harvest of souls. He says that the harvest consists of individuals who are distressed, downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. And it's those kinds of people that we are to seek out and to lead to Christ. In fact, we are those people. Today, Jesus tells us something more about the harvest in verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Jesus is very forthright here. The harvest is plentiful. Of course, as we have indicated earlier, we need to get out into the harvest to see the harvest. We need to get out in among the people in order to see those people in their distress, as they are downcast and as they are like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was there. And so he was very able to say, "The harvest is plentiful." That's how the New American Standard translates that word. The King James Version says plenteous. And the word means the harvest is great. In other words, there are many. It is a large harvest, a bountiful harvest. That harvest does involve multitudes upon multitudes. As the prophet Ezekiel said, multitudes in the valley of decision. Multitudes of lost sheep. Now, when we contemplate these words of Jesus,
I think we also have to reckon with the fact that Jesus says in other places, or seems to indicate, that is, in other places, that there are few that are saved. Look, for instance, with me now, if you would, to Luke chapter 13. Luke 13. Verses 22 through 24. The question is asked forthrightly by the disciples. Luke says, "And he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem." It reminds us of the scene in Matthew 9. "And someone said to him, 'Lord, are there just few who are being saved?' And he said to them, 'Strive to enter the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able.'" The question is put forth rightly to Jesus. Are there but few who are to be saved? And there are those who would use this particular text to emphasize the fact that, yes, there are but few who are saved, who come to Christ. But it's interesting, as we look at this particular text and others like it, that Jesus does not answer the question directly. "Lord, are there just few who are being saved?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter by the narrow door." Jesus switches the emphasis, doesn't he? The emphasis that Jesus suddenly brings in answer to the question involves each of us as individuals. The emphasis that Jesus brings to the question is, you strive to enter by the narrow door. You be concerned about your own personal salvation. You be concerned about your own relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the emphasis that Jesus suddenly brings in response to the question. "Strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Yes, Jesus does refer to numbers, but only secondarily. He's concerned first with the individual's relationship to God through him. And that's the direction he points in when he answers the question. And then if you go back to Matthew chapter 7, we see something very similar, a parallel passage to this passage in Luke. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." It's interesting, again, that the emphasis Jesus brings to this particular passage is an emphasis on the individual's relationship with God through him. You enter by the narrow gate. You, my friend, enter by the narrow gate. Be concerned about that. There are others, yes. The way is narrow and the road is straight. Yes, there are few who find it, Jesus says. But be concerned, first of all, about yourselves, Jesus says. That's the emphasis. And that's the emphasis with which we must be concerned. Now, the other thing that we have to see as we look at passages of Scripture like this is the fact that Jesus is speaking into a very concrete historical situation. He's speaking to the Jews here. In Matthew 7, the scene is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is speaking to those seated with him and below him on the mountain. And he is teaching them and he is instructing them. And he's saying to those Jews who are about him, "Look out! Because I want to tell you, my friends, that among you there are few who will find the narrow gate. And we dare not neglect that historical situation into which Jesus speaks among the Jews. And then we can go to another passage of Scripture, Matthew 22. We read it a little bit earlier for our Scripture, but let's go back to it. Matthew 22. And I'd like us to read that entire passage of Scripture again. But before we do so, look at verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now again, there are those who would say that because Jesus uses these words, there are but few, very few, who in reality come to Christ. But let's look at the whole parable, beginning with verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatted livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready, come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and cast him into outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. It seems to me one of the things that needs to be seen in this particular parable is that that last verse, verse 14, is a part of the parable. And Jesus is again speaking into a very concrete historical situation. Jesus is issuing a warning to the Jews, and he's saying, look, my friends, you are invited to the wedding feast, and you are saying to the Lord, well, I've got business. Don't bother me now. I need to take care of my business. And so the Lord says, they're not worthy. Invite others. And it is a very keen warning which he issues to those Jews. And he says to those Jews, therefore, many of you are called, but few of you are chosen. Now, if this is the case, when we turn back to Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, we have an interesting, to say the very least, a very interesting thing taking place. Jesus, on one hand, looks at those Jews and he says, many of you are called, but few of you are chosen. And on the other hand, he says, the harvest is plentiful. In other words, the few that Jesus sees, the few that he names, are plenteous, are multitudes. Now, I don't know how that strikes you, but it strikes me rather forcibly. Because what Jesus is trying to say here is the harvest is plentiful, and compared with the harvest, the workers are very, very few. And even if you narrow down the harvest to a pitifully small number, even if you were to do that, the harvest is so plentiful that we cannot possibly handle it. The workers are few. But now we have to add something else to the mix here, which it seems to me is very important. Again, Jesus has been speaking into a very concrete historical situation. And if throughout the ages, the harvest, as Jesus said to the Jews, remains very few, then there are some other scriptures which are contradicted. For example, let's look in our Bibles at Genesis 15. Genesis 15. Verses 1 through 6. Here is the promise to Abraham. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abraham, I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." And Abram said, "O Lord God, what wilt thou give me, since I am childless? The heir of my household is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Since thou hast given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Then he believed the Lord, and it was, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. What was the promise that was made to Abraham? The promise made to Abraham was that your descendants shall be of the like the stars of the sky in number. Myriads upon myriads and thousands upon thousands. Your descendants shall be like the sands of the seashore. Thousands upon thousands. That's what the promise of God is. And then if you go to the very end of the Bible, to Revelation chapter 7, we see a similar thing. The end of time. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Look with me, if you would. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. "And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands." Are the saved in the end a pitifully few in number? No. Before the throne and before the Lamb, there will be countless myriads. No one will be able to count them. Only the Lord knows how many there are. There are countless thousands upon thousands who are before the throne, singing glory to the Lamb. You see, at the end of the age, the saved, those who come to Christ, will be a very great multitude. And so you see, if we say that those words of Jesus spoken strictly to the Jews apply across the board throughout the age, in the end, the promises of God are contradicted. And we dare not do that. But let's add something else to what we are saying. The promise that the kingdom of God will grow. Let's go back to the Gospel of Matthew. And just look at a couple of short parables. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Verses 31 through 33. Two very short parables. And he presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." What does Jesus say the kingdom of God will do? It will grow. It will grow. It will grow. Men and women will be added to that kingdom. And it will grow. And in the end, there will be a multitude who are in it. And then verse 33 in Matthew 13. He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of meal until it was all leavened. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven will spread and it will grow. It will grow. That's the promise of God. You remember the story told in Daniel. How a stone was cut without hands and descended into this world and struck a great statue and destroyed it. That stone was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he entered the world. And Daniel goes on to say that that stone grows into a great mountain which covers the whole earth. In other words, the kingdom of God is bound to grow. And if the kingdom of God is bound to grow, do you realize what that means? When we go back to Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, when we go back to that particular verse, if the kingdom of God is bound to grow, it means that the harvest is more full. The harvest is greater. The harvest is more plenteous today than it was in the days of Jesus. That's what it means. When Jesus was walking on this earth, he was able to say among the Jews, "Many of you are chosen, but few of you will come. Few of you will come." And those few were seen to be a multitude. And that kingdom grows and grows and grows so that today, the harvest is more plenteous, much more plenteous than it was in the time of Jesus. But what does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37? The workers are few. Can you imagine what it was like in Jesus' day? He saw the multitudes there. And his 12 disciples. And he said, "It's over our heads. The workers are few. You better pray. You better pray." And if that was the case in the time of Jesus, it is much more the case in our time. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are very few. Pray. Pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers into his harvest. Pray. That's what Jesus says. And you know, my friends, that's the way it is for us. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We need to pray that the Lord will send laborers into his harvest. If the words of Jesus are true, and they are, What this means is that there is more work to do in this city than all the churches combined can possibly handle. And that's the case. If the words of Jesus are true, and they are, it means that when we talk to people out there, we can talk to people that no other church, no other Christians are remotely interested in. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You and I need to be willing to get out into that harvest. You and I need to be willing to look for those who are like sheep without a shepherd. You and I need to be willing to talk to others about the Savior. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are very few. I want to tell you that I can't do it myself. I need your help. I really do. Some will say, well, it's better if the pastor visits others. Not so. There's nothing better than a satisfied customer. And those who love the Lord and love His church than the pastor does. Believe me, it's the case. So let's take seriously the words of our Lord Jesus when He says the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. And let's talk to others about Christ. Them to come to church, to worship with us. You know, if each family invited in 1 year another family to come to church, every year the size of the church would double. That would be a tremendous thing. And I don't think that's too large of a task for us either. Let's take the words of Jesus seriously. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, grant to us that we may understand the words of Jesus. And we pray now, O God, that You would send laborers out into Your harvest. Grant it for Your name's sake. Amen.